Welcome to Retire with Purpose, a show specifically designed to help you maximize your financial confidence in retirement. Casey Weed is the CEO and chief visionary of Howard Bailey Financial, a certified financial planner and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. He's your host on Retire with Purpose.
Hey, I'm Casey Weed, and we believe in retirement strategies that are driven by meaning and purpose. Join us this week and every week as we discuss planning for your best retirement, pinpointing your purpose, building a rock-solid financial plan, and unpacking trending topics that could impact your financial future. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Retire with Purpose, the science of retirement with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, here with me.
Hey, hey.
And we are here to cover retirement with you. So if you're at retirement, in retirement, near retirement, or you're just seeking one of those coveted job optional statuses, then you have found yourself a home. We're going to have a wide-ranging discussion today, as we always do. We're going to be talking about cash out refinancing your mortgage. We're going to hit on dominoes and what that has to do with your bottom line in retirement, 529 plans, taxes, Social Security, Medicare. We're going to cover the gamut. You're especially not going to want to miss out on our Medicare segment We have one of the top Medicare experts in the country that is going to be joining us here shortly. And this was actually recorded, this interview between Danielle Roberts and myself. It already has nearly 10,000 views in a matter of a couple of days. And so you're not going to want to miss out on what we have to offer you there as well. We're going to be giving away a Medicare guide at absolutely no cost, so stick around for that. But first, we're going to be covering an article from our weekend reading for retirees and pre-retirees. This is a collection of four articles we send out via email every single Friday. If you'd like to sign up to get that email and stay on top of things in retirement, just go to retirewithpurpose.com. We'll get you signed up. You can also get a link to this particular article titled "The Anti-Annuity Dominoes Have Fallen." So there's our dominoes.
Dominoes. I like it. Now, this is an industry article, and what I love about a lot of the articles that you send out is they're sent out to financial planners, right? This is from Insurance News, right? They're right. Sending this out.
Not too many average Joes out there reading insurance news.
Nobody's nobody's got that one bookmarked that's listening to the show right now. But it's from Tom Hegna, who's been in the industry forever, economist, author, retirement expert. And he writes some good articles, but this one is "The Anti-Annuity Dominoes Have Fallen."
Well, I think he kicked off the article really well. He said, the research of leading PhDs, specifically on the power of income annuities in retirement, is just overwhelming. We've had many of these PhDs featured on the Retire with Purpose podcast. You can check out the Retire with Purpose podcast on your Apple device. Retire with Purpose is the title of it. And we've interviewed some of those experts. They carry PhDs. They share the most cutting edge research that shows the benefits of annuities as part of a retirement plan. I think most notably, Dr. Wade Fowle, a previous professor of mine, professor of retirement income. He founded the Retirement Income Certified Professional designation. And he shares with us his research. One of the stories he shared with us was how he was able to build a plan for a couple that allowed them to have more income in retirement than they would have had with a traditional investment-based strategy, and also leave more to the heirs when they passed away as well, with a greater degree of certainty. And that's not a lot of research that you hear from the talking heads and their buddies at the coffee shop.
Well, yeah, that's just it. Like most retirees are not out there reading PhD white papers about retirement income strategies. They're getting their news from the TV, the talking heads, the broker down the street, the buddies at the coffee shop.
Yeah, or there's signs on the side of the street. I mean, that's all they're looking at is, well, I hear they're bad, and we don't really know why, because you actually haven't been following the research. Any financial advisor today that hasn't incorporated annuities into their financial planning practice is doing their clients a disservice. That means that they're not following the closest cutting edge research, and that means their clients aren't getting the best retirement plan they possibly can. And we're not sitting here saying that annuities are right for everyone. And, right. and that's not what this mm-hmm. article says either. It says that your essential living expenses, your basic living expenses in retirement, we're not talking about the fun stuff, right? We're talking about your paychecks, not your playchecks. Those paychecks have to be covered with some form of guaranteed lifetime income. Maybe you have all the income you need because you have Social Security and pension. But if you're like a lot of retirees today, all you have is Social Security, and that's not enough to cover those basic living expenses. And so you want to incorporate annuity into the strategy to create some type of guaranteed income to make sure that you can spend with confidence in retirement.
Well, and I think most of the retirees that come into our office, they have the same basic questions, right? Do I have enough? Will my money last? And will my family be okay if something happens to me? So that's why Tom knows that these annuities can provide that benefit. But a lot of people say, you know what, my rental property is my annuity, or I don't need an annuity. My laddered bond portfolio is my annuity.
Or I'm just going to allow dividends to support
my
income.
There you go. Hear that one quite a bit.
Or, I love municipal bonds. I hear they're tax-free. That's such a great benefit. And he goes through and breaks down some of these individual things that are really related to COVID-19. There are some other things that you could also let tumble, if you will. I don't want to tie up my money for the rest of my life. Well, you don't have to. You could have a 5-year annuity, operates, much like the term of a CD for that matter. You say, well, I don't want to, what if I need some money back? I won't be able to get it back. Well, you can usually take up to about 10% out. Some products will allow you to take up to half the account value without any surrenders, without any penalties whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So those things could always be debunked, but what's going on in the age of coronavirus has allowed some of these other things to tumble. And one is my rental property is my annuity. Yeah. The age of coronavirus has been pretty weird, and it's been very damaging for your average landlord. If we look at what's happening today and just look at some headlines, CNBC had the headline, "Small Landlords Struggle as Renters Either Can't or Choose Not to Pay Amid Coronavirus right. Layoffs." Yeah. The New York Times wrote, 40% of New York tenants may not pay their rent this month. And of the 8 million individual landlords who own between 1 and 10 rental properties, this can be very difficult for them to recover from.
Yeah, because these are the mom and pop. These aren't the slumlords, if you will. These are normal people that have homes, and they neither have the cash nor the credit available to cover those costs if the rent is not coming in. I mean, just look at what's happening in Seattle and Portland. You've got all these protests. People don't want to be downtown. That's leaving a lot of empty vacancies, and it's really providing a difficult situation for a lot of these property owners.
Well, and the other domino that Tom Hegna points out here is, I believe in laddered bonds. And, I have had some income plans that I've structured with laddered bonds mm-hmm. in the past. Now, those are starting to change now because interest rates have fallen.
Absolutely.
We need to find new places to generate that kind of income. We need to replace those things with annuities in order to generate a much higher level of income they're ever going to be able to get with that good old bond ladder. And in addition to that, I myself, just like Tom here, I've never been a huge believer in laddered bonds because bonds default. I don't mind this strategy for your paychecks, but I don't want this strategy for your paychecks. And no matter what historical interest rates have been, if we're looking at highly rated corporate bonds, highly rated municipal bonds, for that matter, government bonds, we can usually get the same or a higher rate of return if we use a fixed annuity, fixed indexed annuity, and we don't have to worry about defaults. And some highly rated bonds have defaulted over the years.
Absolutely.
And that's a very painful experience. I myself lost a highly rated Texas hospital bond a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm never doing that again. Why did I ever do it in the first place? Because I could have put it someplace in an annuity, generated the same rate of return with more liquidity and flexibility than I had there. And I wouldn't have had to worry about the default.
Right. You could argue that it made sense back when interest rates were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%. But today with treasury yields, the 10-year treasury bond is paying 0.75%. Even the 30-year government bond is less than 1.5%. With yields this low, we have to look outside of the box.
And and Tom Hegner writes, you know, why would you do that today when you can get a 5, 6, 8, or even 10% guaranteed payout for an income annuity? And not just that, but what about the taxation of that bond interest? You're getting taxed at ordinary income tax rates on that bond interest every single year. With an income annuity, you would have an exclusion ratio. So every single payment wouldn't be fully taxable. You'd have portion of that would be a return of your principal. The next one would be dividend paying stocks will beat an annuity. And you know, I'm not arguing that they won't.
Right.
However, during difficult years like we've had in 2020, it's not guaranteed. Hundreds of companies have slashed, eliminated their dividends due to the COVID crisis. And we're not talking about bad companies, junk companies. We're talking about GM, Duncan, Royal Dutch Shell, Harley-Davidson, yeah. Expedia. Again, I use dividend equities, but I don't use it for the income that I need. I'm not going to use it for my clients' income that they need and depend on. That's paycheck money. I like dividend equities, but they're not guaranteed, and they're not going to give you the confidence that you need to spend in retirement.
Right. So once you have those the bottom line income coming in, then you can have the dividend paying strategies. Talk about tax-free muni bonds. I mean, we're talking about lots of downgrades. Municipalities are hit so hard this year with the pandemic. I'm fearful that a lot of these downgrades are going to result in defaults, or you're going to lose significant market value on these downgrades. Yeah.
If today you have bonds, you need to take a look at the value, because you might be able to get out of this bond that's paying 4% a year and get a 5% premium. So you get an extra 5% for getting out of it and reallocate it to a vehicle that's going to give you 4 or 5% as well. You've got a once in a lifetime opportunity if you own individual bonds. Barron's had done some of the best research here in their August 31st issue. They put on the cover the $1 trillion hole, trouble ahead for municipal bonds. So it's not just us saying this. The shutdown has severely reduced state and local revenue. So that's just a handful of those dominoes that have fallen, and a good reason for you to sit down with a truly comprehensive financial advisor that has all the tools at their disposal. Tom, in this article, gives a few more points in order to make sure you can have a happy and successful retirement. These are the things we help people with. Have a plan, work with a competent advisor, understand and maximize your social security, consider a hybrid retirement, maybe work a couple extra years. And what does that bridged retirement look like? Number four, have a plan to protect yourself from inflation. Stocks, real estate fits right in there. But if that's all your advisor is doing, then that's all the tools that you're getting. Cover your basic living expenses with guaranteed lifetime income. Number six, have a plan for long-term care. Number seven, use your home equity wisely. Number eight, use life insurance to efficiently transfer wealth tax-free to children, grandchildren, charities. But you have to work it with an advisor that has all the tools at their disposal. And if you're not having these types of conversations with your financial planner, if you're not getting that truly comprehensive advice that you're seeking, then give us a call right now. We'll sit down with you and cover all of these things and more. Whatever's keeping you up at night, whatever your concerns are, we'll sit down with you and help you through that process at absolutely no cost. You can meet with an independent financial advisor on our team either in person. You can meet with us through a video meeting from the comfort of your home, or just do a phone call for that matter. We'll help you through all of these issues and take the guesswork out of financial planning for you in just 30 minutes, potentially. So for the next 10 callers, the call right now, 866-482-9559, a comprehensive financial review at no obligation, 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. Now for our question of the day. Every time we do this show, we want to give you one little brain teaser. What percentage of working Americans expect Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security to cover their health care expenses in retirement? 5%, 10, 25%, 35%? We'll have the answer when we come back.
You're listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson. This is Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retiring with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me is my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, here with me to answer your question of the day. What percentage of working Americans expect Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security to cover their health care expenses in retirement? 5, 14, 26, all the way up to 35%. Marshall, the answer?
The answer is C, 26%.
a quarter of Americans, this article comes from Motley Fool, and that's where the stat comes from. 26% of Americans misunderstood Medicare, and it could ruin their retirement. I would say that that's probably a fairly accurate number. Mm-hmm. Quite often, I worked with a couple that I won't forget. They said, "Well, we don't want to retire yet because we don't want to pay for healthcare." Mm-hmm. And let me see your pay stubs next time you come in. So they brought their pay stubs in, and they were already paying for healthcare.
Sure.
It was just an automatic deduction from their paycheck.
They didn't see it.
They were actually paying more for healthcare while they were working than they would when they got on Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they didn't think they were paying anything. And yet they were actually paying more than if they just retired, went on Medicare.
Mm-hmm. And trying to understand that is a good part of the equation, right? It's sitting back and understanding if you're going to retire, or we talked about this with layoffs and all the unemployment we've seen this year. You know, when somebody goes, well, geez, I got to get Cobra or Marketplace. And a lot of times people, depending on their deductible, can end up having similar
benefits. Well, they'll think, well, you know, I've got to wait till Medicare before I can fully retire.
Right.
And not realizing that it's only going to cost a little bit more prior to getting on Medicare. It's still going to cost you something. And it could be quite substantial.
How many families?
There was an article, the studies from Fidelity show that the average cost for healthcare is around the $300,000 to $350,000 range for a 65-year-old couple throughout their entire retirement. That is someone that has a Medicare, traditional Medicare, with a Medicare supplement, Part D plan, and yet they're still going to pay over $250,000 over the lifetime. There still is an out-of-pocket cost, and with the average Social Security payment being around $1,500, that's probably not going to cover all of your expenses in retirement. Now it's our time to turn the mic back to you and see what kind of questions that you have. If you have questions, just visit retirewithpurpose.com. In the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, it says Ask Casey a Question. Just type your question in there and we will get you an answer. We're happy to provide that answer. We recognize we may not be able to work together, but we know we can add value to everyone and we strive to do that. And we will kick on off with Cindy from Pleasanton, California. And Cindy says, I know in general women outlive their husbands. How do we best plan for higher taxes and smaller Social Security checks? Do you have retirement planning advice for when one spouse passes, then income and your tax bracket changes?
Yeah, absolutely. And Cindy, it's a great, great question. And it's something that oftentimes we don't think about ahead of time. And oftentimes we end up working with widows who are now already in these tough tax situations. They're already dealing with lower Social Security checks and higher tax burdens. So the fact that you're asking this question while you and your husband are still healthy and happy is a great, great opportunity to begin to prepare. You know, I always say when we work with a family, we have three plans. Plan A is you two ride off into the sunset and die in your sleep together at 89 years old. Plan B, though, is...
How about 91?
Yeah, 91. There we go. Okay. Plan B is what happens if your husband goes first. Plan C is what happens if the wife actually goes first. So we got to have these contingency plans, Casey, and that's what proactive tax planning is all about. Not just about saving a dollar today or tomorrow, but how are we going to save a dollar over our lifetime tax bill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned a couple things there, Cindy. Social Security, you mentioned taxes. And that's right. You know, you are going to lose one of the two Social Securities when one of the two of you passes away. You lose the smaller of the two, you keep the larger of the two. So one of the pieces of common advice there is to delay the larger of the two payments as long as you possibly can. You're going to get roughly an 8% delay every year on delaying your Social Security payments. And you want that one that your spouse is going to be retaining for her lifetime after you're gone to be the largest it can possibly be. And so that's why it often makes sense to delay the larger of the two and take the smaller of the two to supplement income along the way. When it comes to tax planning advice, you know, if you can get ahead of it, you do Roth conversions, you buy life insurance, you look for ways to diversify your income sources in retirement after that spouse passes away so you don't have to worry about paying more in taxes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you become a single filer. It doesn't matter what tax brackets are if all of your income sources are tax-free. However, this is something you have to do beforehand. You also asked, you know, what do we do? You kind of framed it in such a way, and, you know, what do we do if one spouse passes? And, well, if it's already happened, our options get very limited. Mm-hmm. And I always think about a couple that we worked with that ended up moving to Florida. So a couple of years after we started working together, they ended up moving to Florida. And when they moved down there, prior to them moving down there, we put the plan in place. I said, you know, I would really like us to have some long-term care coverage. And when they got down there, they said, no, you know, we're good. You know, they kept telling me, I kept bringing it up. They said, no, we're good. And he ended up having a TIA on the golf course on the first tee. Oh, wow. And he was in excellent health. She was in excellent health. And they ended up putting him in a nursing home for an extended period of time. The nursing home expenses drained their accounts. And then he passed away. And she said, what can we do to boost my income? Well, we already spent the dollars. The long-term care money wasn't there. That was long-term care expenses were devastating. And now you're a single filer. Our hands are pretty tied. There's only so much that we can do if we don't plan ahead. So if you haven't planned for these things, long-term care, Social Security, taxes, it's going to be very hard for you to do that planning on the back end. Mm-hmm. But I did have one gal that called in that lost her husband, and she was 60, didn't realize that she could sign up for a widow's benefit and start Social Security a couple of years early. And so there might be some things you can do, but right. The best action plan is a proactive one.
Next up, we've got Ray in Columbia City. Ray says, what are some ways to get my spouse more interested in managing our finances and more involved in our retirement plan? What a great question Ray's got there in Columbia City.
It is a great question, and one that I had not long ago with another guest on the podcast, the Retire With Purpose podcast, where we talked through this very topic. She had written several articles on it. She has one of the top finance blogs out there, Couples Money, right. And we were talking about the most important element of that being that you need to speak her language. You know, what do we do? You know, if you're anything like me, you want to pull out your spreadsheets and you want to show them line by line, yeah, you know, how the products work, how the tools work. You know, my wife, she has a little bit of that, you know, where she enjoys seeing the numbers, but her eyes glaze over pretty quickly. I have to make sure that I'm incorporating stories along the way. This is what this means to us. Mm-hmm. This is what this means to our family. You know, you have to incorporate stories because some of us are left-brained, some of them are right-brained.
Right.
You know, you have to speak to that person's mind, and most of us will gravitate towards stories. We understand stories. There's feelings involved in stories. Maybe you have another couple you know where one of the two of them passed away, and now we have the surviving spouse that's taking over the finances. Tell those stories, mm-hmm. and that can get that spouse engaged. That's my best piece of advice.
Yeah, I've got a couple that I laugh every time they come in because she's giddy, and she, when we started the process, she didn't want to be there. She told me straight out, this isn't my thing. I don't like the financial side of things. I don't like the numbers. Quite honestly, I'm just here because my husband's making me be here. And so what we tried to do, or what the husband tried to do, was he tried to incentivize these trips to Fort Wayne. And so every time they get to come to Fort Wayne, they get to go to her favorite restaurant right down the street. So she looks forward to coming in now because she knows she's going to get a good meal afterwards. So there's some incentive there.
Well, I have another couple that have been working with us for, boy, I'm probably close to 10 years. And every time they come visit, she gets to go shopping.
Yep, there you go.
And so it's a little shopping trip that he mm-hmm. has to go on. Yeah, you know? So she has to come sit yeah. in with them. Then he gets to go on a little shopping trip. It's a give and take. That's how marriage works.
It's a compromise.
Our next question comes from Mary in Hillsdale, Michigan. Hey, Mary. I used to spend a lot of time up in Hillsdale. Great college there. Can you explain the tax benefits of contributing to our grandkids' 529? Plan, how much should we be contributing to reap the benefits?
You know what, Mary? I don't know. I'd push back a little bit here. I mean, I don't think the ultimate goal of contributing to a 529 should be what you get back in tax benefits, but I understand the question, right? You know, because otherwise, it's like there's a lot of other things you could do with this money, right? You could give it to charities and get a better deduction.
Well, you're just saying don't let the tax tail wag the dog.
Don't let the tax tail wag
the dog. This is like going out and buying a brand new $50,000 truck because you get to write it off.
Okay? Yeah,
you
yeah.
still have to pay taxes on it. You're spending a dollar to save 10 cents.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a 529 can be a useful vehicle for saving for college expenses, job, but if the kids aren't going to go to college or you're worried about them not going to college, then it's a terrible idea. So I think there's benefits there, obviously state specific benefits. So if you're in Michigan or Ohio or Indiana, every state has a different law regarding 529s. In Indiana, there's a great tax credit. If you know anything about the difference between deductions and credits, credits are a lot better than deductions, but it's a state by state limitation, and you just have to understand why you're doing it.
You know, I treat it a lot like a 401k contribution. You know, if I'm going to put dollars there, I only want to put enough in there to get my match, right? If I'm going to put money in a 529 plan, I only want to put enough in there to get my deduction or my tax credit. I have a gentleman that is from Lafayette, Indiana, and he has some grandkids that are quite young. So his grandkids aren't going to need these funds for 15 to almost 20 years, right? And he's not sure what they're going to do 15 years from now, 18 years from now. Are these kids going to go to school? What are the rules going to be? And in his circumstance, rather than making the 529 contribution, he makes a contribution to a life insurance policy because he goes, well, what if I die before I'm able to fund the college education? Well, then there's a death benefit that'll cover the college education. If he is able to fund it over the next 15 years as he stays alive for the next 15, 20 years, then he'll be able to use the cash value tax-free in the life insurance policy to fund the education. So there's a lot of different ways that you could structure a college education plan. If you have questions like this, make sure you go to retirewithpurpose.com, deliver your question right to us, right there in the bottom hand of the corner. It says, ask Casey a question. On the other hand, if you have questions that you would like to get answers that are more unique to your own situation, and when we talk to Mary, Ray, Cindy here, we don't know their unique personal finance situation. And we can only answer in general terms. If you would like those answers to be personalized, we have a special offer for you today, a complimentary financial review where we can look at your entire financial retirement plan. We can talk through tax planning. We can talk through emergency planning. We can talk through stock market investments. We can talk through Social Security maximization. We can cover the gambit, and we can put together a comprehensive plan. And we could do that in person. We could do it over a Zoom meeting and just 30 minutes. And if you just have a quick question, you can also just give us a call. We have an offer for you today to take advantage of. Just give us a call at 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559, a complimentary financial review at no obligation, 866-482-9559. Next up, we have Medicare expert Danielle Roberts, the co-founder of Boomer Benefits, covering some of the most costly mistakes you need to avoid during the annual open enrollment period.
You're listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson. This is Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retiring with confidence, the art of living with purpose. It's your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson, here with you. And we also have another very special guest. We have national renowned Medicare expert Danielle Roberts. Danielle is the co-founder of Boomer Benefits, a health insurance agency that helps baby boomers and seniors navigate Medicare and select suitable supplemental coverage in 48 states. As we get inundated every single year, probably like you do when it comes to Medicare, we had a lot of Medicare questions, and Danielle joined us on the Retire with Purpose podcast to talk about why Medicare is so complex, the major mistakes that people make when choosing and using Medicare coverage, and how to get the guidance you need to ensure that you'll be able to access vital health services in retirement. This episode was released this week as episode number 173. You can check it out at retirewithpurpose.com. Danielle is also the author of the best-selling book, 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes You Can't Afford to Make, which we're going to be giving away here at the end of the segment. So stick around. We're going to kick it off by hitting on one of the topics that is pretty critical, and that has to do with what's going on right now. It's annual open enrollment. That's why you're getting inundated with emails and phone calls and mail in your inbox regarding Medicare if you're at Medicare age or near Medicare age. So we had to ask Danielle, why is it so critical? Is it so critical right. to review your Medicare coverage in full during the election period every year?
So the annual election period in the fall will be for reviewing your Part D plan or your Medicare Advantage plan. And that's because most Medicare Advantage plans include a Part D drug plan. So there's things changing on that plan, but Advantage plans can also change their core benefits from year to year. So you could see that a premium or a copay changes. You could find a different deductible. They may charge higher for the hospital stay next year. Your doctor may drop off the network. Those things can all change. So that's why we have this period from October 15th to December 7th every year to make a change. Because when you get your packet in September telling you what's changing, that could come from either your Part D or Medicare Advantage carrier. And that will let you know if you need to make a change during the annual election period. And if you do that, the new coverage will kick in on January 1st and replace the old coverage that you have. So those two plans, your time for reviewing them is always going to be in the fall. Your Medicare supplement with most insurance companies in most states, that is going to renew automatically, but you'll have some sort of rate increase that happens throughout the year. With most carriers, it happens on the policy anniversary.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into the annual enrollment period. Right. When you have Medicare, it's just like having a financial plan. You do need to review it every year because things change. And those changes can be extremely costly if you just outright ignore them. The problem is that there's so many different places to go for Medicare advice. You're not really sure where to go right. in the end. Mm-hmm. I had one client, four or five years ago, who interviewed a half a dozen different individuals regarding Medicare and said, I just haven't found a good resource for Medicare.
Right.
And I said, well, I guess we need to fix that. And so we started providing Medicare services as a value add for the families that we work with. Right now, if you go to retirewithpurpose.com, we have a Medicare webinar out there that you can watch to get a better education about Medicare so that you can make the very best decisions, or you can just give us a call at 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. We'll review your coverage at absolutely no cost and give you a solid recommendation. And the next thing I wanted to talk to Danielle Roberts with on the podcast was just who that person, in her opinion, should be, because she is an independent Medicare agency. And she really touts that as being a really important thing versus being a captive agent. And maybe you didn't even know that there's independent agencies and there's captive agencies out there, and going with one over the other could cost you significantly more and add layers to confusion. Let's hear what Danielle has to say.
So if you have a captive agent, they can only sell one company's plans, then you're going to need to have meetings with several of those types of agents, which takes more time and effort. If you work with a broker that represents multiple plans, like we do, then we can present all of those options to you up front, and you're going to find that that allows for a little bit less bias. We're not going to be trying to sell you just this one company because that company pays our paycheck. Instead, we can say, here's the smorgasbord of carriers. Tell me X, Y, and Z about yourself. All right, based on that information, let's look at these plans. They look like they might be a good fit. And that conversation flows from there, where you're able to ask questions back and forth to determine which of those plans might be good for you.
You know, and that's really important to have these broader conversations about the best coverage for you when we're talking about Part D, when we're talking about Medicare Advantage plans. We need to gather a lot of information and really customize the solution for you. When it comes to Medicare supplement plans, usually you're just going to take the cheapest top, you know, three different carriers and look for the best deal, because there's not a lot of difference from one Medicare supplement to the next. And so I wanted to ask Danielle, you know, what are the differences between different Medicare supplements across different types of carriers? You know, how do you find the best coverage? Because if you have traditional Medicare, like most individuals, then this is the one area that you're looking at every year, and it should be the easiest.
So Medicare supplements have 10 different letters. They run A, B, C, D, F, G, K, L, M, N. There's some missing in there because they've been retired. And if you purchase a plan of the same letter from one carrier to the next, those basic benefits are going to be the same. So in 2020, Plan G is a very popular plan. It covers all of the gaps in Medicare except for the Part B deductible. If you got a Plan G quote from Blue Cross Blue Shield and Aetna and Cigna, you would know that all three of those are going to have exactly the same benefits. So you can compare based on price, and you can compare based on the financial stability of the carrier. You can look at those carrier ratings. At our agency, we also like to look at the rate increase histories. So if they've been in business for 5 years in that county or that state, what kind of rate increase histories have there been? And we give that information to our clients so they can make a good decision. But there'll be 30 different insurance companies offering these plans where you live. And the good thing is, if you know you can compare apples to apples, like a Plan G to a Plan G, then you are usually going to be looking at the top two or three with the lowest price and determining from there which one feels good to you.
And you might say, well, how much more could it really save me? It's only costing me $300 a month. Well, we've been able to swap somebody from a plan they're paying $400 a month for to one they're paying $100 a month for. That's a savings of $300 a month. That's $3,600 a year. Over the next 10 years, that's $36,000. That's a pretty darn nice new car you could be putting in your driveway every 10 years if you just had your Medicare supplement plans looked at. And this is one of the easiest things for us to do. So if you're on traditional Medicare, just give us a call, 866-482-9559. We'll just share with you what the top three lowest cost carriers are with that particular plan that you have. And you just pick the cheapest one. You can do it all from the comfort of your home.
Yeah. And she makes such a great point about working with somebody that's independent that can shop all these different carriers and not just support one versus another.
Well, in our industry, that's one of the things that many don't understand either. If you go to one of the big box stores that you saw advertising during the Super Bowl, they're going to have a limited product menu. Many times people come to us and say, why haven't I heard of this from my advisor before? Well, it's because he doesn't have access to all the different tools. It's important to work with an independent advisor, just like it is to work with an independent Medicare agency. The last question I kind of wrapped up my conversation here with Daniel Roberts on the Retire With Purpose podcast with was a question about the long-term health of Medicare, the long-term viability of Medicare. Will Medicare always be around? Some people wonder if Social Security will always be around. Will Medicare always be around? Well, Medicare is just as underfunded as Social Security. Right. And so I think quite often we are making assumptions and saying, no, it's never going to be around, but we really don't have all the facts. I want to ask this question of not just your average Joe. I want to know, will Medicare be around, from someone that's been studying it for years, someone that knows Medicare in and out, someone that understands funding in and out and healthcare in and out. And this is Danielle's response to that ongoing question. Will Medicare be around in the next 1-2 decades?
I do think it will be, and it is a valid concern, especially after COVID and the stimulus and all the people that were off work that weren't paying those FICA taxes into Medicare during this year. I think we'll see that when they reevaluate when everything is going to go insolvent, it's going to be sooner than we had previously thought. And so for Medicare Part A, that's just in a couple of years. I think it was 2026 is when it would be unable to pay 100% of the benefits anymore. However, I don't think that will ever happen because it's political suicide for anyone in Congress to let Medicare or Social Security fail. And we usually find that at the last minute, Congress finds some way to punt the ball a little further down the road and make sure that at least for a few more years that it's kept solvent. It may mean that someday we do have to pay a little more for taxes. I think taxes will go up as we have more people aging into these programs and the programs spend more of our capital as a nation, but it's better to have a program that's working for many, many people and pay something for it than to maybe have a program that you don't pay anything for and we're not sure how we're going to afford it as a nation or what kind of care is going to be delivered.
We covered a wide range of topics during this interview. I'd strongly encourage you to check it out on our podcast, retirewithpurpose.com. Check out our YouTube channel, Retire With Purpose, and make sure that you dig into this information to truly understand and ultimately make the best decision for yourself when it comes to that Medicare decision. And we partnered up with Danielle Roberts to offer her best-selling book to you at absolutely no cost. She sent us over a box of her books titled 10 10 costly Medicare mistakes you can't afford to make. We're going to be giving it away right now. And with it being open enrollment season, this is a critical time to ensure you're securing the best Medicare coverage available to you. This book will highlight top Medicare pitfalls, penalties to avoid, as well as how to navigate election periods and understand the differences in all these different coverages. It can be a bit overwhelming, and she has truly simplified this process for you. So give us a call right now at 866-482-9559 or email us at info@howardbailey.com to claim your complimentary copy of 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes You Can't Afford to Make. That's 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. We're going to be right back after this short break talking about getting a lump sum of cash out of your home.
First-time callers are eligible to receive one in-stock book per request. Limit one book per week per household up to three books per calendar year. See full terms at howardbailey.com/terms. You're listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson. This is Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson.
Welcome back to Retire with Purpose, the science of retiring with confidence, the art of living with purpose. This is your host, Casey Weed. Joining me, my good friend and co-host, Marshall Johnson. And boy, the phones are ringing off the hook because we just gave away a book, 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes You Can't Afford to Make. So if Medicare is on your mind, you're going to want to get this book. Call us right now before the books are all gone. Call 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559. Now we have another article we're going to share with you from our Weekend Reading for Retirees email series. So every single Friday, we send out an email from us to you with commentary from myself on four different articles that are trending topics in the retirement planning space. And this week, one of those trending topics happens to be refinancing your mortgage. Yeah. So I pulled an article about this very topic. I believe this one was featured in USA Today. It is titled, What a Cash Out Refinance Means for Retirees. Here's how to borrow some of your home equity. I put this article in here because I did a cash out refinance. I refinanced one property, cash out refinanced on another property. And I shared what I was doing with a couple individuals that are fairly astute. And they said, well, what's a cash out refinance? Or, you know, how does a cash out refinance work? Why did you do that? I've never heard of a cash out refinance. I'm going, well, I thought this was pretty common. Mm-hmm. I thought everyone knew what a cash out refinance was or how it works. And yet it's really, I guess it's not all that common, but there's a lot of benefits to taking advantage of this. And I wanted to share why I've done it along with, you know, what it is and the pros and cons.
Yeah, I've heard people say before, oh, you mean like a reverse mortgage? Like, well, no. Completely different concept. So, you know, it might be worthwhile to have this discussion. I think, you know, right now with interest rates the way that they are and people that may find themselves in situations where they need some emergency reserves and some extra cash, it might be a place that they can go.
Yeah, well, I think no matter what you're considering when it comes to your real estate decisions, whether you know, that is a reverse mortgage, whether that is a refinance or a cash out refinance, you know, you have to start with the most important part, and that is the purpose.
Yeah,
this is why when it comes to our planning process, stop number one is the purpose. Why are we meeting in the first place? What are you trying to accomplish? What will this do in your life? What impact do you hope that we make 5-10 years down the road? What does this truly mean to you? And we can design the plan around that. If we don't start with a purpose, I can tell you how many people I've met that were retired by a financial advisor and they should have never retired. It wasn't the best thing for their future. Right. They should have kept working. They would have been happier if they would have kept working. They just wanted the confidence to know they had the financial freedom to retire. They didn't actually need to start creating income and step into retirement, I think the same process should be taken with virtually every financial decision you make. However, this one in particular, a really big decision. Many individuals, your home may be your largest asset. Mm-hmm. Your home may be bigger than your 401k. You may have more equity in your home than you have in the bank. You know, it makes sense to really take your time with this decision in particular. So what is a cash out refinance? Well, it's really pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably know what a refinance is, right? So you take your mortgage, you refinance it. So you owe $200,000 and you go ahead and you might have 10 years left on your mortgage. You refinance it for 30 years, but you're still going to owe that $200,000, right? Now you could take more than what you owe. So you have equity in your home. Maybe you have a $500,000 home. You have a $200,000 mortgage. You say, you know what? I'm going to take a $400,000 mortgage. I want 200 grand of that 400,000 that I'm going to refinance, and I'm going to maintain that $200,000 mortgage. So now you've got some cash in hand, right? You pulled some cash out of your home, and now you could use it for a number of different things. Now, when you do this, you're probably taking on new terms, you know, longer terms, I should say, but most importantly, probably lowering your interest rate, given as low as interest rates are right now, and that might justify taking on that longer term.
Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, with interest rates as low as they are, historically low interest rates right now, a lot of individuals are looking at their house, and maybe the house was almost paid off, and they wanted to buy another home, or there's just various reasons I've had with families here recently where it made sense to refi, but also maybe they were going to take a little extra cash out.
Well, so this past weekend, I had a debate with a good friend of mine, and he starts the argument that, hey, you know, when you refinance, when you take out a mortgage for $500,000, I said, let's say it's 4%, right? You take out a $500,000 mortgage, the interest rate's 4%, so that's $20,000. He said, you're going to pay way more than $20,000 in interest in year one. I said, no, you're not. That's not how a mortgage works. He said, that's not how a mortgage works. You don't pay $20,000 in interest in the first year. You're going to pay multiples of that in the first year. This is a smart guy, like a really smart guy. I said, bro, we've had this conversation before. I won last time. I'm going to win again. You know, but he was adamant. I had to pull out an amortization schedule for him. I went home and took a screenshot of the amortization schedule on our new mortgage and said, look, you pay less than 4% in interest in the first year. Mm-hmm. You are paying down principal every year too. That's why your payment's larger. And so over time, are you going to pay, you know, more towards principal, less towards interest? Yeah, but right now, if I could borrow $500,000 at interest only at 2%, I'd do it all day.
Right.
I'll never pay down that principal. Mm-hmm. You know, don't make me pay down the principal. I'll do interest only, and I'll refinance it again in 30 years. Or maybe I'll never refinance it, and I'll just plan on selling it in 20 years. But I know at 2%, 3%, I'm going to make more somewhere else than what I'm going to pay in mortgage interest. Too many times people complain about, well, it's front loaded. It's not really front loaded. Yes, you pay more up front in interest, but that's just because the mortgage balance is larger. And that's okay when the interest rate's 2 or 3%. My mother-in-law just refinanced it 2.75. Wow. I refinanced it about 2.9. This is an amazing time to do that. And it's an amazing time to pull some cash out at the same time. So the benefit here is obvious. So the cash out refinance, you get a chunk of cash out, and you're also able to reduce your interest rates. And you could use that cash to maybe pay off some high interest credit card debt. Maybe you're renovating your home like my mom is right now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We see this all the time for somebody that wants to, you know, the house is nearly paid down, but they want to add a whole screened in porch, or they want to do an outbuilding. And so extracting that equity can free them up. You know, a family I just worked with about a month ago, all their assets were in 401ks and IRAs. So if they were going to pull out $50,000, it was going to be taxable. Plus they had income. this year. It was going to bump them up into a higher tax bracket. This was a way for them to be able to refinance, lower their interest rate on their primary mortgage, but also give them some capital to be able to use and give them some flexibility.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'd love to be debt-free, but I consider that debt-free. If I pull out $500,000 in equity from the home and I still owe that to the bank, but I've got that $500,000 over here making 5%, well, I still have it. Do I really have debt if I still have the cash? I would argue you do not.
But that's going to fly, you know, contrary to a lot of people that grew up like, hey, you can't step into retirement unless you have a mortgage. Well, that made a lot of sense in the 70s and 80s when you had 14, 13% interest rates on a mortgage. So it's just a slightly different conversation. But, you know, Uncle Dave's going to, you know, come back and
I know.
Say, well, hey.
Well, not all of Uncle Dave. You know, there's some guys over there that tend to understand. Chris Hogan, we had this conversation on the Retire with Purpose podcast. But so I actually had this conversation with another client who had a rental property. The rental property is kicking at about a 15% yield. He wants to sell the rental property so he can build a new home. And so he doesn't have to take on any debt. I'm going, but you're making enough in interest to pay a new mortgage payment, and you're able to retain the value of both properties. And we can still have the cash sitting over here making a higher rate of return, and it's risk-free. If you need it, we can go pay it down. But why would you sell these other tools that are making such a higher rate of return than you're owing in interest?
Well, I come at it from a slightly different angle too, because I see a lot of widows where these people scrimped and saved to pay the mortgage off before they retired, and it spent down a lot of their equity, and the spouse passes away, and now they're widowed, and they have all that equity in the home, but it's not usable money. They can't reach into the walls and use that for expenses.
Yeah. And the article goes on to say, well, you know, it can be really expensive to refinance and do a cash out refinance. It says it could be 5 to 6% of the loan amount. If it's 5 to 6% on the loan amount, you better find a new banker. Yeah, because I just refinanced. It was less than 1%. The average closing cost for refinancing in the state of Indiana is around 1% to 2%. You know, and it should be lower than that these days. It should be under 1%. Now, there's other costs in there, insurance and taxes, maybe you're paying down a little bit of the principal, but that's all money that you were going to pay out anyways. Yeah, so it's not really the closing cost. That's not really the cost of the refinance. That should be more than 1% to 2% range.
Yeah, but being aware there is cost is
yeah. So what are the other types of mortgages? Why would you use each one of these? You know, if you're going to do a cash out refinance, I think the primary reason should be that you found another place to reposition those dollars for a higher rate of return. If you're going to refinance your home and take out a longer term loan, but not actually cash anything out, it should be for expense purposes, cash flow. You're able to reduce your expenses and make it just a little bit more comfortable from month to month. If you're going to do a reverse mortgage, it should be a permanent home. It's for income purposes. You needed additional income that could last a lifetime. If you are thinking about doing a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, then it should be for short-term financing purposes. That should never be something that you're going to draw on for income or reallocate for growth for any extended period of time. And it's not necessarily going to free up your budget for some other reason. So there's a lot of different uses out there for your equity. There's a lot of different reasons to refinance right now. If you want to link to this article, check out retirewithpurpose.com. And a moment ago, I want to remind you, we just interviewed Danielle Roberts about her best-selling book, 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes You Can't Afford to Make. We still have a bunch of those books here. They're probably not going to last the whole weekend. So make sure you give us a call right now to get your copy complete. Completely complimentary. With it being open enrollment season, it's a critical time to ensure you're securing the best Medicare coverage available to you. This book will highlight top Medicare pitfalls, penalties to avoid, how to navigate these election periods, understanding the differences in coverage. So give us a call right now, 866-482-9559, 866-482-9559, or email us at info@howardbailey.com to claim your complimentary copy of Danielle Roberts' best-selling book, 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes You Can't Afford to Make. We're going to be right back here with you next week on Retire with Purpose.
First-time callers are eligible to receive one in-stock book per request. Limit one book per week per household up to three books per calendar year. See full terms at howardbailey.com/terms. You've been listening to Retire with Purpose, hosted by Casey Weed and Marshall Johnson. Investment advisory services offered through Howard Bailey Securities, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Working with Howard Bailey Securities, LLC cannot guarantee investment success or that specific financial goals will be achieved. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP and Certified Financial Planner in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. Howard Bailey Financial is a registered trademark of Howard Bailey Financial. All rights reserved. Information is not intended to provide specific legal or tax advice. Howard Bailey Financial nor its advisors are qualified to give tax or legal advice. You are encouraged to consult with your tax or legal professional for guidance on your individual situation. This radio show is a paid placement.